Welcome to Season 2 of the Healthcare Fraud Shield podcast. Healthcare Fraud Shield is the leading provider of fraud, waste, and abuse detection software to healthcare payers. Our innovative suite of integrated products includes AI, prepayment, postpayment for both medical and pharmacy, case management, and a reporting tool. If you'd like more information about Healthcare Fraud Shield, please visit our website at www.hcfraudshield.com. Thank you for listening. Hi, and welcome to the Healthcare Fraud Shield podcast. My name is Karen Weintraub. I am Executive Vice President with Healthcare Fraud Shield, and today we are going to bring you Episode 6 of Season 2. And the episode today is about COVID-19 fraud, waste, and abuse reflection. It's something I've been thinking about over the last, not only weeks, but months, just really thinking about how things have changed over the last year and what we've done both personally and professionally to adapt. About a little over a year ago, my last day that I traveled anywhere for work was March 12th, 2020. Scary, you know, people couldn't find food, people couldn't find toilet paper. Luckily, I had some, otherwise I'd been using those socks that don't have another pair. So personally, it was a little kind of scary to see what the entire country was going through. But as a company, Healthcare Fraud Shield knew we really had an obligation to be proactive. So we started, you know, looking at the writing on the wall, and within 2 months after really that week where I had my last meeting, was the big shutdown, and we had to quickly pivot. So anyone with fraud experience really could potentially predict, you know, what could be an issue with COVID-19 fraud, waste, and abuse when it comes to healthcare fraud. So we kind of had an idea what to be on the lookout for. And kind of put yourself in the mindset of you know, someone who may be trying to commit potential fraud, waste, and abuse, and you could easily come up with a list of things. But of course, things were changing literally daily, weekly, monthly, so we knew we had to change with it. So what were we doing? We were looking at all the new codes that came out. There were CPT codes, HCPCS codes, even CDT codes, and the last time I counted just recently, there are approximately about 50 codes, mostly new, some existing, but most of them were new related to COVID. Some existing codes were, descriptions were either, you know, modified or were made known to be able to be used for COVID-related services. There were new diagnosis codes, new guidance on modifiers, places of service. There was also a list of services from CMS that were now considered to be allowable due to the public health emergency. Looking at that list, which I just verified if there were any changes, it was just updated in April. There are currently 271 services, according to the CMS list, of services that can be performed via telehealth. 162 of them were actually added due to COVID, and all of these are still active. So we took all of that and we created a dashboard, again, in less than 2 months after the shutdown, where we monitored providers, we monitored specific schemes, and we also monitored external data as well. So what were the big schemes that we knew to be on the lookout for? So if we were kind of predicting what was going to happen, not only ourselves, but I think the entire industry could pinpoint really two specific areas. And then the other areas, there were some unknowns. But the first one I'd say would be labs. Everyone knew that labs was going to be an issue. We just didn't quite know yet. Not all the new codes had been actually published, or, you know, we didn't even know about them at the time. So we knew of some things happening. But we knew we could predict that that labs were going to be an issue. And over time, what people were on the lookout for were, you know, the different types of tests around the antibodies, different tests around the diagnostics around COVID, and then just symptoms in general, such as, you know, people with respiratory problems and looking at some of the respiratory panel codes. So that was one piece of it. With the new codes, some were just more expensive than others based on the type of test they were. So obviously, we knew to always be on the lookout for the more expensive codes. Look out for the volume and frequency of different codes, and then who's advertising for them and offering incentives around it. So there's a lot of, you know, interesting things going on, not just in claim data, but just, you know, out there in the world that you can pull that information into potential, you know, fraud, waste, and abuse detection. So, you know, there could be exceptions to this. There are things that could potentially generate some false positives, especially nowadays. You want to be on the lookout for what might look suspect but maybe isn't, and that could be due to folks going back into the, you know, into their work environments where they're required to get tested. So you always got to be on the lookout for, you know, you may have a good idea, but what could make that good idea look like it's suspect, but then it's not. So want to account for all of those different scenarios. The second one, as I mentioned, was telemedicine and telehealth. All of these services that, you know, were, you know, currently allowed and temporarily granted access, those are obviously ones you want to be on the lookout for. Did the history prior to COVID make sense to have these services? Were they getting this type of service before? How many services are they getting in a day? How many services is a provider providing in a day? So I would definitely recommend looking at that list of those services. As I mentioned, there were 271. You might be surprised at some of the procedures that are listed there. There are eye exams. Cardiac rehab was actually added last October. Physical therapy, speech therapy, you know, again, there's 271 of them. So I would highly recommend you take a look. It's an easy downloadable list. Another area, just evaluation and management services. You know, a lot of offices shut down. So if you were going to go to your doctor's office to get a maybe just an annual visit, or maybe you have an earache, or, you know, just something, you know, typical, a lot of people couldn't. And some offices weren't really prepared for telehealth. Some were. Some kind of figured it out along the way. So taking a look at who started doing those types of services while folks were at home. How often are they billing it? Do they have any special contracts to do so? But the other thing, again, is knowing what could look suspect but isn't. We knew that those evaluation and management services would really take a dip, but at some point they would start to creep up, both still at home as well as in person as things opened up in various areas. So again, looking for what you know could produce potential false positives and account for that when you're analyzing the data. And again, accounting for that geographical region, you know, different states were doing things differently. So all of those are things that you need to consider. Another area was experimental treatments and medications. Again, we knew that a lot of folks were talking about a lot of different things. So we wanted to monitor just what was the buzz. You know, what are people talking about? Wanted to look at the FDA website, which we still do. The FDA actually lists suppliers and providers and prescribers who they've warned about certain things. So, you know, you can easily go to their website and take a look. You want to look at who's advertising for odd things. You know, a lot of folks were advertising for the be-all, end-all or the miracle cure. Usually when it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. But those are also good sources of information to know what could potentially be out there and deceiving people into thinking they should, you know, have some kind of service that's going to help them that really has no effect whatsoever. So you want to look at the credibility of the sources out there, telling people what they should use or not use, what kind of medications they should use or not use. And obviously the FDA has a lot of information about what they've deemed allowable, what they've approved officially, what they've approved under an EUA or an emergency use authorization, and also what's still in the works. You've got different treatments as well as medications that undergo clinical trials. So there are some great resources out there to monitor what's going on with clinical trials and the efficacy of those treatments and medications. So that's kind of covering just some of the things, the big ones anyway, of what we knew to be on the lookout for. But then there's, of course, the question of, you know, how do we know what's out there that we don't know what to be on the lookout for? And that's accomplished in other ways. One of the big ways to do that is through artificial intelligence or AI. So our subject matter experts, you know, we've been in the field enough to know what to be on the lookout for. But the AI is going to tell us what we don't know is happening and that we haven't accounted for. So having the two powerful pieces of a solution work together was really beneficial to our clients, not just to, you know, identify quickly the fraud, waste, and abuse, but also to show their organizations and their members that, yes, you know, we're on top of this. We have someone who's already on this. So AI is great. We were able to look at the providers who are potentially taking advantage of, you know, this situation. And not just individual providers, but just schemes in general. So, for example, I know we mentioned before looking out for labs, but, you know, one of the things that we didn't anticipate for is this specific scenario, although we always know to look out for excessive services. But one of the things that we started seeing last year is that folks that were getting COVID-related lab tests were also getting a whole host of other tests, from drug tests to STD tests. So really what we call lab padding, just tacking on services that are completely unrelated to COVID. That didn't make sense. And of course, you want to make sure and you check what's going on with the patient outside of that specific claim or claims to make sure, but that's really what was happening. So with any scheme or schemes, you know, what we need to do as an industry is now we need to see how the potential bad actors are going to pivot. So they know that we've been monitoring, you know, certain types of codes. They know that we've been monitoring certain types of behaviors. So that's where, again, our subject matter expertise, as well as the AI continuing to grow and be used together, have really been helpful with being able to stay one step ahead. So it's been really kind of an interesting time and an interesting exercise as a company to, you know, see how things can quickly change and then how we can quickly change with it. So very, very interesting. You know, curious to see how the next couple of months go. We have some thoughts, as always. We're always trying to predict and be one step ahead. But if anyone would love to, you know, reach out and have a conversation, you can always reach my email. I'm at kweintraub, kweintraub, at hcfraudshield.com, or you can just go to our website at www.hcfraudshield.com, and we'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much.